Phrase that only Jesus will get us to God. So when you call upon the Lord and you say, Lord, forgive me, and then Jesus looks up at the Father and say, Father, will you forgive Jim? And the Father looks at Jesus and he sees the sacrifice and he says, absolutely, I'll forgive Jim because he called upon me in your name. So, last week we were being thankful. Is there anyone that wants to testify this morning? Sister Barbara.
I've been giving my grandson who's been on drugs for years. Okay. And he's been living with him. He doesn't even look
like he's been on drugs. He praises God every day. Wow. Wow. We've been praying for these miracles, and it's good to see the Lord starting and ministering. Thank God for that. Any other testimonies? Jim? Praise God. Hey, amen. This is going pretty good. Anyone else have a testimony?
$2,700.
Praise God. So we're always thankful. Not just Thanksgiving time, but always. In the next month, which is just a few days away, before we come to church again, we'll be in December, or at least a Sunday morning service. And then begins joy to the world. The Lord has come. Amen. And then today I thought, well, let's see how we can approach God. Yesterday I was doing work around the house and I was doing really good. I had a lot accomplished. And then Debbie kicked three more cases out on the thing and said, you got to put these away. I'm through with them. And so I went over to let the ladder down. And I let it down, and then I always flip it up and catch it, and then ease it down to the ground. This time I caught it with my head. And that's not recommended. It's not at all. So I have five staples in my head, and the doctor, I've been praying, Lord, give me a story. And the doctor, I even prompted. Debbie told him I had a sermon to do, so don't make it look too awful. And he said, well, now you have a story. And I thought, well, Lord, I wasn't praying to get hit in the head, but I will connect the story. The story's not getting hit in the head. The story is the doctor. But if you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, and we'll read through 16. This is subtitled in the New King James Version, Our Compassionate High Priest. Verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That means stay with where you're at in God. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but in all points was tempted as we are. These are two very important statements. He can sympathize with our weakness because he's been there. He's been tempted. He's been pushed. That next line is one that we cannot claim because it says, yet without sin. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we realize that and we're thankful for the mercy of Christ and the blood of Jesus that cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us therefore, here's the opportunity, that's the door that's opened because of what Jesus did on the cross and the resurrection. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for all of your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to someone today, to all of us today. Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll encourage faith, that you'll encourage us as we pray, that you'll make our prayers, Lord, felt not only heard, but see them answered. We pray, Lord, that you'll minister to each and every heart. You love us, and we pray, Lord, that you'll not allow any to go away, Lord, without being fed and strengthened. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus paid the price, and he's the only one that could, because he was without sin. Not only was Jesus our high priest, he was also our sacrifice. The scripture says that John was looking in heaven, and no one was able to open the seals of the book, Revelation 5. And John began to cry. And then the elders said, no, wait a minute. Behold, the Lamb that was slain. And John said, I looked up, and I saw the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so Jesus was the sacrifice, and he was the high priest. He took the sacrifice to heaven, and it was accepted completely. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. If you hurt, if you have any need, aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say, oh my goodness, you're defective, you have needs, I don't want anything to do with you. But more than that, Jesus said, you have a need, come boldly. Come confidently. Come with hope to the throne of grace. Now, a throne represents dominion or power. Dominion or power to do something. I heard Jimmy Swaggart say this morning that God makes Bill Gates look like a pauper. We know Bill Gates is quite a wealthy guy. He has a lot of money, and he's very, very well off. But God has more. Have you ever heard the expression that someone has more money than God? That's a lie. That's not even close to the truth. It's not even funny, hardly, because God has everything. He made the world and all of its fullness. People say he has the cattle on 1,000 hills, but he also has all the gold, and maybe we should include oil and carbon and all the other things as well. God owns it all. He's let us use it, and we're so thankful. But we can come boldly. We can come with confidence to the throne, not the throne of just power, but the throne of grace, a throne of unmerited favor, a throne of help in the time of need, so we can obtain mercy. We can lock on to that mercy of God and find grace in the time of our need. Now, I want to move on to the next scripture, if you want to look there in Matthew 7. And we'll be reading verses 7 through 12. We need mercy to shatter the complications of life. How many know that life gets complicated? I had I remember a commercial a long time ago. I don't even know what the commercial was about. But there's an old fella. Man, he probably in his 80s or 90s. And he was one of the old guys that really looked old. And he said, it's complicated. Again, I don't remember anything else, but he said it's complicated. And life can become complicated, but mercy can shatter those complications. So this is ask, seek, and knock. And Jesus speaking said, ask and it'll be given unto you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? I like those words. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now that last verse is just good sense. Treat others as you want to be treated. And if everybody did that, we'd live in a much easier world. How many saw something on the news about Black Friday, where people were fighting over a particular thing? My goodness, it's amazing how people can become and how evil man is if they don't know the Lord. But I believe with all of my heart this scripture is given to us so that we might increase our faith in God. Because if we, being evil, want to give good gifts to our children, I want to give the world to my children. If they ask me for help, I want to help more than what they need. I wish I were able to do more. I think that's one of the great regrets of my life, is not having more to give to my kids. Because I love them and I want them not to have any need. I'd like to see them never have a trouble or a worry. But again, life is complicated and I can't intervene in all of those things. But God can touch them and we can absolutely pray. How many has a burden of your children? Let's pray and let's see God help. But this scripture says to ask. That's easy enough. How many has ever asked for anything? I'm going to quote Jimmy Swaggart one more time. He said, I like to hear testimonies and not so much complaints. I wonder how much God gets complaints rather than testimonies. Sometimes I complain more than I really praise him. And in asking, I'm asking with a complaint in it. And it'd be better to ask with a little bit of thanksgiving and praise. But we've got to ask. We just open our mouths and, Lord, this is what I need. This is what I'd like. And then I think if you go to seeking is a little bit more than just asking. I think it's stepping up the game a little bit, getting a little bit more, serious about finding what we need in the Lord. And then knock. Knock. I used to, when I was a young pastor in Alameda, I'd go door to door. I knocked. I remember a young guy who at the time was an old guy to me. He opened the door and I invited him to church right down the street. He could have walked to our church on Lincoln Avenue. I think it was 1205 Lincoln Avenue in a theater building. He could have walked there, but he slammed the door in my face, and as he did, he said, I've been without God for 61 years, and I'm not about to turn to him now or seek him now. And I thought, I was 22 or 23, something like that. And I thought, you know what? You're making a big mistake, because you're an old guy, and the older you get, the more you're going to need the Lord. But knocking is not always easy because we don't know what we're going to run into. But when we go to God and we knock, I think one of the saddest pictures in the Bible is in the book of Revelation, where Jesus is speaking to the Laodicean church, and he said, I'm knocking to get in. I'm knocking to enter into fellowship with you, and you're not opening the door. We need to knock, and we need to keep the door open to the Lord because he has provision for us. Years ago, in 2012, how many can remember that far back? 2012. The Lord laid on my heart to pray in the Spirit for 30 minutes every day. I was seeking some things from the Lord. And during that time, I got a contract to build Dr. Trent's house in Fremont. That was a big, big job. The biggest I've ever done. 17,717 square feet. So it was a big house. Had indoor pool, jacuzzi. No, not a jacuzzi. It had a steam room and a sauna, theater, a game room. It was quite nice. And it took us 20 months to build the house. And I really felt like because of the obedience to the Lord that he opened that door for me. And he opened the door for all of us. Bob worked on the job, and we had lots of guys working and for a long time. And it was a great time to work, and after we'd been slow for several years. I've been praying this last week for two things. One is a story, which I'll tell you in just a minute. The other is for miracles for everybody in our church. Calvary Temple miracles everywhere. Why miracles? Because that's something that we can't do. We can do a lot. We can do a lot. God has not asked us in our approach to him to do what we can't do. He's asked us to do what we can do. And he's given us that ability to ask, to seek, to knock. And so I'm praying for miracles for Calvary Temple. We got to just keep up the asking and sometimes step it up a little bit and get a little more serious. And I don't know what the Lord wants me to do, but I'm willing to do that extra amount to see miracles in Calvary Temple. And when I asked for a story, I had no idea that I'd get hit in the head with a ladder. But the story is not getting hit in the head with the ladder. The doctor came in and he looked at my head and he said, "Oh," and they washed it out. That was horrible. That's the most brutal thing that I've ever gone through. That nurse or a young lady, she was a ED tech or something like that. Whatever she was serious about getting it clean. And then the doctor came in and he said, "Oh, I don't think we need staples. I think we can do glue." And I got happy about that because I didn't think staples was going to be that good. He went out and he got the glue right there in his hand. And he looked again. He said, "Oh, I think we need staples." And he said, "Don't worry, I can do them in 15 seconds. He did not do them in 15 seconds. He counted to three and then stapled. And so what I felt like was my eyes and everything was coming out of the socket. I mean, that was, and then every time it was come to three, I heard that sound and it hurt. But that's not the story. The story is Debbie told the doctor that I was going to minister tomorrow. And he said, Debbie said he asked me twice, what are you going to preach? What's your scripture? And he said, I guess he wanted to connect what happened to my sermon. And I said, "Well, I'm going to start with Hebrews 4:16. And he looked it up on his phone and he read it. And he started giving comparisons of how this can work in. He said, "You know, a lot of people, they want mercy. They want mercy. But," he said, "sometimes what they need to do is give mercy. They need to minister mercy. And in doing that, then they'll get back." Isn't that amazing? The story to me was the doctor. He was an Indian gentleman. And wow, I was really blown away that he looked on his phone for scripture. And that blessed me. I thought, good, in good hands. Good staple gun hands. And but I thought, you know, if God can provide the story, he can provide the miracles. Amen? John 14:14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Matthew 6:33, we know this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek the kingdom. And then Jesus spoke to the little lady at the well in John 14:21-24. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming. And now is. The hour is. It's now. The hour is now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. I enjoyed the worship this morning. And I always enjoy the worship here because we feel God. Because even though we're not a huge congregation, the Lord still touches us and ministers and helps and strengthens. And I've underlined, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Do you know that God wants you to worship? He wants your worship. He wants your love. God is a spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I think that's an awesome, awesome way to approach God, in spirit and in truth, because that's a way that you'll reach Him. And then again, Matthew 11 and 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor." How many labor? "And are heavy laden." People who have a burden, people who have a job to do, people who have life to contend with. No matter what your load is today, no matter what your burden is today, I'm looking forward to retirement, but there's always work in retirement too. I'm beginning to feel it when I want to stand up when I'm sitting down. I used to jump up. Now I very easily stand up and hope that everything comes along. I used to run just to go from the job to the truck because I had the energy. But the scripture says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." I like rest more now than ever before. I remember when I was still in my, 40s, something like that, 40s, and I was digging a trench in my yard where we live before the remodel, and I was digging with the pick. And that ground was so hard. I remember picking for a while and then sitting. Now, that was a long time ago, but that picking is hard work. We may at whatever age we are, we may have a job ahead of us. We may have difficulties to deal with in life, but we also have Jesus saying, "Come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." No matter what our life has going right now, no matter what the burden is, no matter what the trouble that we might be facing, or if you have no need of miracles, then just grin and smile, and the rest of us will take that as an encouragement. Amen? How many remember Queen Esther? Malachi said, "You need to go to the king and get some help." She said, "He could have me beheaded. I've got to be careful. I can't just approach the king." I think Malachi told her, he said, "You know what? Who knows? You know, that you've been raised for such a time as this." She was actually going to save her people from the evil Haman. And she went before the king, and the king looked at her with mercy and accepted her request. And in doing that, she saved the people. We have a merciful king. He doesn't mean us any harm. He only loves us. He wants to bless us. If you want to do good for your children, how much more does God want to minister to you? He loves you. I mean, I could even get serious about this and say God loves you like a grandchild. But we do have that one-on-one relation to Him and no separation. He loves us because we're His children. We can cry out to Him, "Abba, Father, Papa God." I want a scripture that I want to read next. It will be the last scripture. And it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We read this a week or so ago. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So we have ways to approach God. And he's given us ways to approach him that we can do. It's not like you need to go climb Mount Everest. I don't even know if I could get to Mount Everest, much less climb. He didn't ask us to run a marathon. Now, if God gives you the strength to do all these things, do it. Enjoy it. It's a great thing to be active. I used to run a quarter mile in less than a minute, and I enjoyed that. But these days, I'm taking it a little easier. But God has given us the approach in things that we can do. And guess what? It doesn't matter how young or old you are, you can still ask, you can still seek, you can still knock. So he's not given us something impossible to receive his mercy. He's given us a way, an avenue that we can really touch him. We've got promises, and the promises come through that asking, believing, seeking, knocking, and coming before him. We have a written invitation to come. Sometimes we feel like, well, Lord, that might be for somebody else, but not for me. He didn't say a name or a group or a nation. He said to all, come unto me. You're invited. As he said to the disciples that were fishing, come and dine. Come on in. Let's have some food. Let's have breakfast. Bread and fish is not my idea of breakfast. When I was in Singapore, they had fish soup, and I avoided it. With no regard of missing out on the culture. What I wanted was bacon, and the potatoes that they had were absolutely good. They didn't grow them in Singapore because they don't have enough land to grow anything. But Jesus said, come and dine. We belong to the Lord. We've been given rights based on relationship. There's so many people today clamoring for rights that they really don't even have. But Jesus has given you a right because you belong to him. Now, I'm going to do something that I don't understand, and maybe it's just that I need to learn to hear God. How many remember the song, The Impossible Dream? I'd like to sing it for you because it's a beautiful song, but even with a good voice, it wouldn't be that great. But I'm going to read the words to it, and I don't know how it fits with everything. Maybe it doesn't. But to dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure, chase from afar, to try when your arms are too weary to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far. To fight for the right without question or pause. To be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star. God has made the impossible possible for you. When we come before him in the name of Jesus, his son. And I want us today to be encouraged. There are difficult times ahead. We've got in our church a tough assignment of gaining a new pastor. We've seen bumps in the road in the past when we've done this. And I know for everybody it's kind of like, oh my goodness, we kind of hate the time. But just understand that we have Jesus to call upon. We have Jesus to lean upon, and he will help us. Debbie, would you come? You've approached God hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. And God has always been there for you. And that's not going to change. If you say, well, wait a minute, I've been asking for some things a long time. I understand I have too. But let's keep asking. Because as Sister Barbara's testimony was this morning, God does the impossible. You know what? Teen Challenge has the best record of helping people who have been addicted than any. We knew a young man in Texas that was an alcoholic, and his family paid thousands of dollars to help him. And he came out of that and went right back to the same behavior. God can deliver, folks. God can set free. The lady that prayed for me when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a heroin addict. And she came to the altar and she prayed through and she got up. She said, when I walked a few steps away, I looked back at the altar and I could see my form in kind of a like a charcoal, like a crusty black form of what I had been. And I walked away brand new. God can do all of that. Amen? Praise God. I understand that kneeling is not in for everybody. It's not. Our knees have changed over the years, but I do want us to spend some time in prayer. Let's pray, and then we're going to find us a place. Lord, we're thankful for each one. And Lord, I pray for miracles of mercy in every life. You see the things that are ahead of us, Lord, and I pray for your strength. I pray, God, that you'll intervene. And during this Christmas season, that there'll be mighty things happening in Calvary Temple. Lord, testimonies of your glory and your grace. And we're thankful for the testimonies we've heard today. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you, Jesus, for answering our prayer. Strengthen our walk with you. And Lord, let us be mindful of your grace each and every day. Give us strength for the tasks that we have tomorrow and for this week. Give us blessings, Lord, as we go here or there. We pray, Lord, for your strength for each and every one and your mercy. Lord, for our families, I pray salvation and miracles of help where there's great need. Lord, we honor you. Bring deliverance to those who are captive, who are bound, who are, Lord, absolutely addicted or cannot control themselves. Your mercy of deliverance, setting the captive free. Salvation to the lost. Lord Jesus, your mercy. Those that feel like I can do without God, let them realize that they can't do 1 minute without you. And I pray for mercy, just to reach in and your love change their life. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Would you find a place or at your seat? Let's just have a little talk with Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.